Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethesda Lutheran Church here on the second Sunday after Epiphany. Glad you're all with us this morning. I hope you're all dug out. If not, I think Steve said he'd come and shovel. Yeah, okay. Just kidding. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, thankfully we did have a big snowstorm, but we're all here. And I know we've not been so lucky a couple times. So we're grateful and thankful for all the gifts of all those folks that are out in the midst of storms, plowing and sanding and salting and all the rest. So definitely a lot of thanks to those folks. Very important vocation they have as well. So, but yeah, another week here at Bethesda. It's been a little bit of a strange one this week, and I'm sure a quiet one at times too if you were around the church with Mary being on vacation, and I was on the men's fishing trip, as I mentioned last week. So a lot of thanks to the guys for another good fishing trip this year. I mean, I didn't catch the biggest one, but, you know, you don't want to show off as a pastor. Really grateful that, of course, that we made it up there and back safely as well before the storm came in. And I know we all had a pretty good time. So let's see, but I think Mary and our other African travelers are on their way back, so I think they're getting back sometime early this week, but we keep telling Mary, of course, too, like, you can take time for, you know, the jet lag to accomplish. She's like, well, you know, like, I'll probably be in, you know, the next day or whatever, and we're like, yeah, you don't, you know, it's okay, like, that's, I'm sure her body clock and, you know, and Julie and Dennis's too will be a little upside down for a minute. But a lot of prayers for them as they travel back. And it seems like from the photos, if you've seen some of the photos on our Facebook page, it seems like they had a pretty great experience. But we'll wait to hear from them personally. I think maybe next Sunday, if we can pull it off. Well, there again, we'll have to see. But hopefully we can get them to maybe do a little slideshow or something, or at least talk about their time there. I know before Lee left for parts warmer and farther south than here, we've been having some issues with the key lock box that's been replaced, and then I know there was a piece missing, so cross my fingers. I think it's supposedly working right now, so those that weren't able to get in, was able to? Okay. Thanks, Jenny. And thanks to Jenny for filling in for Mary while she's been gone. I'm always glad to have, well, even though I've been gone for part of it, I'm glad to see Jenny's smiling face in the office again, too, so a lot of thanks to her. But in spite of all the snow, we are planning another snow day like we did last year, a little family fun day. So that's now on the calendars with some pizza and games and bingo and things like that. So I think there probably are signs that have been going up, but also you'll notice in your bulletin next Sunday, January 26th from 2 to 4. So I think there's a couple things in there about junk, if anyone has any good gifts to donate and things like that. Are there any other announcements before we get going here? Welcome. Oh, yeah, how was the quilting trip?
I don't quilt.
You don't quilt. The quilters, how was the quilt?
Artie?
I mean, I'm not asking if you actually did quilting, you know. I'm just saying how the trip went, you know. You held it in Vegas again this year? No, just kidding. So, all right. Well, hopefully the women had a good time too, not just the men, and probably had a better time without all the men around. No, hopefully they had a good time as well. But yes, Welka this week on Wednesday, so put that on your calendars, ladies. Anything else? All right. Well, otherwise, let's begin with our first hymn, hymn 679, 679.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. God of the Word, in the parable of the sower, you showed us how your word can take root and grow within us. Nurture the seeds of your word in our hearts and help us to grow in faith and love. Amen. You may be seated. And we will read responsively our psalm this morning. Psalm 126 begins with you. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then the mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying the sheaves. You may stay seated. This is a really long gospel today. But you can do extra standing when you get at home. And our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The gospel begins. Again he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path when the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy.
but they have no root, and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. All others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." And he also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like the mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The gospel of the Lord.
May you remain seated. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today is one of those days when it feels like you should be preaching to me. Because as much as our gospel offers several different lessons within this great grab bag of different parables, it is also very much just about the nature of parables themselves. Today, Jesus is speaking to anyone who has ever told a story, written a song, preached a sermon, tried to communicate anything in any way while using at least a little bit of creativity instead of just spitting out what they are trying to say in the most literal terms possible. Across almost every human culture throughout history, one common thread is our love for stories and creative expression more generally. Art and music and theater and literature, we've created millions of different ways to share an idea or a feeling or an experience in a way that is not completely literal. Even though for as often as this creativity can help us connect more deeply with an idea or a feeling, the challenge, of course, is that it also can make things more difficult to understand. It can give rise to all kinds of differences of interpretations. Hence, all the different Christian denominations, all the different variations, all the different arguments over all the centuries over different books or songs or movies. We seem to enjoy this process as much as it can drive us a little nuts, especially if you're the one, you might imagine, who wrote it. One of my favorite songwriters is Randy Newman. I don't listen to him too much anymore, and he's kind of faded from public view a bit. Perhaps his last big hit was writing for the soundtrack of the Toy Story movie, right? You've Got a Friend in Me. This is Randy Newman. But before that, maybe Wally remembers this, he was famous for his song Short People. Sorry, why am I picking on poor Wally? I'm going to pick on him maybe a little bit later, too. But the other song he's famous for is the song Sail Away, which is this beautiful, grand sort of song when you first listen to it. But man, you got to listen carefully, because it sounds like this beautiful patriotic ode to America about the beautiful land and the delicious foods. And you can imagine it being part of some sort of patriotic slideshow on the 4th of July. And then you listen more closely, or maybe your friend points it out. And you realize that the setting of the song, the person who's singing the song in the way that the song is presented, is a slave trader who's trying to entice someone onto his ship. It's one of those songs where when you realize it, you're like, oh. And you're trying to decide, like, should I still really like this song? You know, it really sets up this conflicting sort of feelings. It's this great pitch, and sometimes you believe in part of that pitch, and yet there is this sort of weird twist to it that brings about some of the very complicated, painful realities of our country. You know, it's a song that, like a number of his songs, we don't get right away because it's from a specific sort of viewpoint, and we don't always understand that viewpoint right away. And that's true with a lot of stories, with a lot of books, you know. We don't always get it, at least the way the authors intended it. And that is part of what Jesus is teaching in Mark's gospel this morning. You know, it's one of those lessons that, depending on your perspective, if you're a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person, can either be depressing or comforting, right? Especially if you're a preacher or a creative kind of person. Because here's Jesus is saying, you put out this message, here's the word being sown into the world, and the success ratio is not really great, is it? You know, between the thorns and the birds and the rocks, you start to almost want to question Jesus, like, why didn't the sower just, you know, take his or her time, right, planting all those seeds, so that so many didn't just scatter here and there in places that weren't really great for those seeds. But uncertainty, of course, seems to be what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus may know which seed is which and who has been through what kinds of challenges, but this idea of inefficiency and not knowing, Jesus seems comfortable with it. Or at least Jesus is comfortable with us going through it. Jesus, you know, being blessed with the omnipotence of God. But for the rest of us, we don't have that gift. This is our lives. We put out a message or we receive a message, and it's hard to know exactly how that message is working in us or how that message that we're putting out there is working in others. You know, as a pastor, we often like to joke that you'll have these moments when, man, you feel like you are on fire in the pulpit, when you're making these great theological points, you've had this great story to kick it off, to help connect to people's lives, sharing all sorts of deep theological insights, and it just seems, you can just look out on the congregation and their eyes are glazing over, like yours are all right now. No, just kidding. But it'll be obvious, right, as people are leaving for the day, they'll be like, Pastor, I didn't really get what you were saying, and yet you'll have these other sermons that, man, you feel like you just pulled it from wherever, or it's just like the same cliche, kind of rehashed, kind of leftover in the, you know, when you're really desperate for food because you're too lazy to go to the grocery store, and you pull something out, and you're like, it's probably still edible. You have those kinds of sermons too, and yet people will just be like, oh, Pastor, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard. And you're just like, well, I don't know. You know, it's one of these moments where the Spirit works in mysterious ways and in ways that you don't always intend. Sometimes despite yourself, the Spirit works, which is both humbling and kind of frustrating at the same time, depending, again, if you're a glass half full or glass half empty kind of a person. So, you know, we face this challenge, you know, as human beings of, okay, well, should I just get straight to the point or should I take a little more meandering time? And so here again, I think of our ice fishing trip this last weekend, especially, not to, you know, break the fourth commandment here, but not only was it an experience of getting to fish, but it's an experience of getting to sit around and tell stories and gab. And I know Wally especially enjoyed getting to hear my father's gift of gab that many of you have experienced, you know. My dad is definitely a person who, why tell a short story when a longer one will suffice? You know, it's to the extremes that it's frankly kind of amazing, actually. I know at one point Barry in the back there, he had the fortune the first day of being in the ice house with my dad, and then the next day he had Lee. And I asked him later, I said, now who did more talking? My dad over 4 hours the first day, or Lee over 8 hours the next day? And he was very, I think Barry might be preparing for the ministry. That was a very charitable answer you gave, I think. I'm not going to go too much, you know, what happens on the ice fishing trip stays on it. But no, it's, you know, it's this gift of gab. We love to kind of tell these circuitous routes, and it's often to good effect. Because, of course, life is complicated, and the benefit of telling a story rather than just getting straight to the point is that it leaves a little room for those complications. It leaves a little room for us to be humble. You know, it captures things that when we aren't always sure, we may have a point, but we don't want to just... We maybe don't want to say that we have complete, absolute knowledge of a situation. To go back to Randy Newman, another song that I don't know if it ever became a real hit, but there's a song of his called Marie. It's a very sweet kind of a song. It's a song by a husband who's come home after having a few too many at the pub or the bar, I suppose. And his wife is sleeping, and he's remembering the day that they were married or the day that they met. And, you know, he comes across, you know, as this guy who, he's not a perfect guy by any means. He's a guy that is definitely a very complicated figure. And he's a guy that probably, if he were sober enough or his wife was awake, probably couldn't say all these nice things that he's singing to her in the song late at night, you know. He's not this very open, emotionally available kind of a person. In fact, you know, it was interesting. I heard an interview with Randy Newman, and he says, you know, I don't even know if this guy loves his wife, right? Maybe this is just the booze talking. Maybe on any other day he'd be this real kind of a jerk. He says, I don't know. I don't know what the final authority is on this person. And, of course, that's how we live our lives. It's not as if we know 100%. Is that a good person or not? Or does that person love me? Or do I love that person? You know, we have all these conflicting emotions, and we'd love it if we could just take a blood test and know for sure what exactly we're thinking or feeling or what somebody else is thinking or feeling. But that's not the gift that's been handed to us by God. We live in a place that is much more uncertain. And so story becomes this great way to sort of capture those uncertainties, to own up to them, but to also still tell truths, to tell a truth about our lives, to tell a truth about a point we're trying to make, and to also not give people an out, right? I think that's also why Jesus loves parables, you know? Instead of telling the whole Good Samaritan story, you could have looked at someone and said, hey, Gary, I saw you yesterday. You let that guy sit in that ditch, you know, without helping to him. And then everybody else who's not Gary, they were like, oh, well, that's Gary's problem. That's not my problem. But he tells a parable because we maybe all have those moments when we are faced with seeing someone who's in trouble and not done the right thing or not done as much as we could, even if we're high and mighty, you know, this is something that we all struggle with. It's not one person's problems, you know, and this is also why science fiction is often a great format for that, right? To help us wrestle with truths in a way that doesn't necessarily get us stuck on the details, right? You watch an episode of Star Trek and, man, you know, they're not talking about racism in the country. No, they're talking about how the Zorbulons, you know, there's one kind of people that have a horn coming out this way and two people have horns coming out that way, and gosh, they really hate each other. And you're like, oh, that's ridiculous. Well, yeah. Judging people on their appearance, finding these relatively minor differences and hating one another for them, it is ridiculous when you step aside, when you step back and get a little perspective. That's the gift of story, to tell a truth in a way that helps us think about it in different kinds of ways. And certainly Jesus does get to the point a lot of times. He does tell a clear truth at times, even if it's uncomfortable. But as I said, Jesus knows how easy it is for us to misuse that kind of speaking. We've seen that throughout history too, all the ways that claims of absolute truth, of absolute knowledge, that it's my way or the highway. We know how often that gets us into trouble as human beings because we don't have that perfect knowledge that Jesus has. And so we have to take things a little more, with a little more humility, to take things not always as clear as they seem, but to think about them and dwell on them. And we love debating stories. We love wrestling with meaning. And that's a good process in us, to have that wrestling, to have that a little bit of that struggle, to have those discussions back and forth about what we think is the point of something, about what something really means. So please, keep on telling stories. They are a gift. They're a good thing to do in winter, whether you're stuck at home in a snowstorm or stuck in an ice house out on a frozen lake. Storytelling is a gift. Just don't be afraid to cut in now and then if you happen to get stuck in an ice house with my dad. And so and tell some of your stories too. I do love my dad. So just in case, you know, the fourth commandment, honor your father. I do honor my father. I was with him the second day, so I got to hear plenty of good stories too. Amen. Rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called together through water and the word, we boldly pray for the church, the world, and all who long to hear God's voice. Faithful God, thank you for the testimony of disciples throughout the generations and for opportunities to proclaim your mercy. Reveal your truth and glory to all who ponder your word of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating God, we marvel at the abundance of the world you have made. Give us confidence in our calling to be stewards of the earth so that our lives are in fellowship with all creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we are thankful for all who have marched for justice and advocated for peace. Entrust our elected leaders with strength, wisdom, and a discerning spirit, so that both our words and our actions serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, thank you for your constant presence as you walk with your children through challenges of joblessness, homelessness, grief, and sickness. Gather your community around all who need your healing power, that they find strength in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of persistence, we glory in the gifts of our church leaders. Bless and strengthen our council members, staff, pastors, worship leaders, and all those who offer their gifts to this community, that our work together would serve your mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we offer additional prayers this morning. We remember in prayer Mary and Dennis and Julie and all those folks from Zion Lutheran who have traveled to Africa and now are traveling back. We offer continued prayers for the people of Australia dealing with wildfires in that country and all the other forms of life that are struggling in the wake of that natural disaster. Be with people everywhere as they suffer with these dangerous climatic situations. We also offer your prayers on those of us here who are facing sort of an opposite problem with challenges of winter and snow. Be with all those that work hard to keep our roads clean and driveways plowed and all the rest. Be with all those who are having fun in the winter, all those that are ice fishing and traveling on snowmobiles and all the rest, that this may be a time of relaxation, but also do so safely and responsibly. Be with all those, O God, throughout the world as they face your wonderful world and sometimes its challenges, whether natural or man-made. And now, O God, we offer up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we offer them to you now either out loud or in silence. Living God, we give thanks for the whole communion of saints, each called in their own time to serve you. Inspire our lives with their testimony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We place our prayers before you, O God, united in your spirit, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Let us pray. God of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them on your table, together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your Spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen. Holy God, creator of all and source of life, at the birth of time, your word brought light into the world. In the fullness of time, you sent your word, born of Mary, to shine in our darkness and to make us your daughters and sons. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his birth and life among us, his death and resurrection, we await his coming again, when all things will be restored in him. By your Spirit, bless us and this bread and cup, that held and nourished by you, we may live as your children, shining with the light of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come to the table of mercy and joy. You may be seated. Thank you. Please rise as you are able. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May Christ, the wisdom and power of God, the source of our life together, keep you united in mind and purpose. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn again this week is Boundless Love, a new one, and let's hope that this feedback problem is solved from last week. Those that heard that.
And changes the heart of us. Boundless love touches and changes the heart of us. O Spirit of Jesus, you sit at our table, call us to a radical. So nothing can keep us apart. Boundless love touches and changes the heart of us. Boundless love touches and changes the heart of us. Restructure justice that keeps some from eating. You prepare us for a different feast of boundless love that climbs over barriers so nothing can keep us apart.